Father, I thank you, Lord, for another time of fellowship. Thank you for everyone that's here. Praise the Lord. We say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this new year. Thank you for the things that you have in store for us, what you've already spoken to us. And we give you all the praise and glory today as we commence on this fellowship. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, now in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, because we're in the start of a new year, I've been thinking about, you know, where we're headed. We have a lot of things to do this year. We have not concluded the study, a deep dive study of the book of Romans. We stopped in at the end of chapter 13. There are many promises that I want to review as we go into the new year and all of that. You know, and yet, you know, more new things are coming from the Lord. So I said, well, you know, thought about it a bit, and it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me that we should do some review of the things that the Lord has promised. Over the last 2 days, I shared some messages both here and at the church. You know, on similar content on the subject of affirming God's word and so on and so forth. Now, also today, I want to do a review. It may take me 1 or 2 days, so I call this part one of affirming God's word. Now, you might remember, those of you who were here, either here or at the church, I gave an acronym for the word amen. And the letter A, the first part of the word, I said, you know, think of that as affirming God's word. And then there are other things as well. Does anyone remember what the other things would mean? You can put it in the chat room for us. I want this lesson or this room to be a little more interactive. We're going to recall the promises of God together. We're going to affirm them, you know, for yourself and recall them. God has tons of things. I'm talking of not just Bible promises, talking of stuff that God has given us on this platform. I want to remind you of the times when we did things like Faith Lab. Not sure if any and everybody here has experienced one of those, but think of this, you know, as a Faith Lab. What is a laboratory, first of all? You know, it's a place where, you know, scientists conduct experiments. It could also be a place where things are manufactured. They start out with experiments, and then later when they perfect the thing, for instance, a pharmaceutical lab, they start out with experiments and different things when they have perfected the formula. Then they actually can manufacture the thing in a place. But it has to do with a lot of practicals, you know. You may even have a lab, in a science lab, for instance, in, you know, colleges and different things. You may start out on a theory that you want to prove. You know, so there's different things that you can do in the lab. Well, a faith lab is similar. We find something that God has spoken, and then we try to practice it. You know, so, you know, that's what a faith lab is. Some of the things that God has spoken for us spoken to us in this room over the last 3 years, those are the ones I want to review. Now, one new word, and it's not new. I mean, Jesus and John said, well, a new commandment I give you, but then it's not a new commandment. It's the one which you have heard from the beginning. Yeah, so there was indeed a new word, but it's not entirely new. It's something that the Lord already said. The new word for the year, I released it at the church yesterday, was the year of my redeemed, saith the Lord. And one of the things I said was that year, as far as God is concerned, and in that context, does not necessarily mean a calendar year, January to December. But what could a year mean? And the reason for that is proof in the Bible. So I want to just repeat part of yesterday's lesson from the church here, and then I'm going to go into this interactive part of it. Part of the proof that a year, when God talks about a year, does not always necessarily mean a year. It depends on the context in which he's saying it. What's what we see in the prophecy of Isaiah, and those of you who were there at the church yesterday, you would have heard this, in the prophecy of Isaiah, in Isaiah 61, where it says, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and all that. Then we see also in Luke chapter 4, Jesus went in the synagogue, stood up to read, and gave him the book of Isaiah, and he found the place where it was written. It was the same place in like we call Isaiah 61 now. And he read portions of it, but he didn't read all of it. In fact, he split one sentence, and he just stopped. And here's what Isaiah 61 says. And then let's consider what Jesus said. I want to show you what this year reference means. You know, Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. You know, and then it goes on about to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's all that Isaiah said. Well, if we go to Luke chapter 4, you know, Jesus, after the devil's encounter with the devil in the wilderness and all of that, and the fast and so forth, he comes to the synagogue and, as his manner was, stands up for to read. So the minister hands him the book of Isaiah. Now, again, God orchestrated that. I mean, they could have handed him any other book, but handed him the book of Isaiah. And when he did, then he found a place where it was written. So let's read it. Luke chapter 4. This is Jesus' proclamation about his mission and his ministry. And he came to Nazareth, where it had been brought up. This is chapter 4 of Luke, verse 16. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. See? Jesus always did that on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped. And that was not the end of the sentence, but that's where he stopped. After the acceptable year of the Lord, it also said the day of vengeance of our God. But he didn't quote that part. And then he closed the book and gave it to the minister, sat down and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Well, why didn't he read the day of vengeance of our God then? Because it wasn't time for the day of vengeance of our God. That's why he didn't read it. You know, the one that was time for him to come and announce was the acceptable year of the Lord. But ladies and gentlemen, it was more than a year. Because after the acceptable year of the Lord comes the day of vengeance of our God. And the day of vengeance of our God has not come yet. Which means we have been in that season rather than a year of the acceptable time of the Lord. Since the time that Jesus spoke that. Till today. Because, you know, we're still going in that acceptable time. That's why Jesus didn't read that second part. Now, the day of vengeance is definitely in his heart. So we also read Isaiah chapter 63. And just follow me here and see the logic we're developing here. In Isaiah chapter 63, verses 3 and 4, we read, something important. This same Isaiah always has something to say about the Lord. Let's see what he says in Isaiah 63, if I can find it here. Okay. Isaiah 63, I have trodden the winepress alone, none with me, I tread in my anger, trampled in my fury, the blood will be sprinkled upon my garments, now we stain my raiment. This is all that it's going to do on the day of his vengeance. It's not quite there yet. For the day of vengeance is in my heart. And the year of my redeemed is come. So the Lord gave me this word, the year of my redeemed, when we were in prayer during the consecration for this year. So I heard it, and I knew that it was somewhere in the scriptures, somewhere in Isaiah, so I went to look for it, and I found it. But then when I found it, I began to meditate on it, and I saw that there were two things here. Again, it was split. The day of vengeance is in my heart, he said. He didn't say it has come, but it's in his heart. And it's coming, but it's not quite there yet, because God has long suffering. Giving people a long rope to repent. Wherein some people even say, well, why is God slack concerning his coming? So God's not slack. Giving you guys plenty of chance to repent. So the day of vengeance is in my heart. It's there. And that's why Jesus didn't quite declare it and say it is fulfilled in your ears, because otherwise he would have come forth with judgment. But he's saying, I came not to judge, not at that time, but to save. He couldn't talk about the judgment. He left that alone. But the emphasis I want to call out here is about the use of the word the year. So when you talk about the year, if indeed it was supposed to be a calendar year when Jesus quoted that thing from Isaiah, then it should have long ago ended. And the day of vengeance should have followed. But till this day, even according to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, we're still told we're in the acceptable time. It's the day of salvation. Acceptable to now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So up to now, we're still in the acceptable time or acceptable year. So I say all of that to say this. if the Lord gives us a word year after year, does that mean then that we should throw that word away at the end of that year? Because that year, calendar year is finished, and just throw it away and look for another one and throw it away. Look for another one. And at the end of that year, just throw it away. No. What it actually means is that from time to time, we can recall the promise, whatever that promise was, that the Lord gave at any particular time. And especially now that he says, the year of my redeemed, you know, all the things that the Lord we're still in the time of grace. We're still in the acceptable year. I called a year,
something
but
went wrong. Please try again.
Not sure. Sorry about that. We're still in the year of, you know, the acceptable year of the Lord. And up until when the Lord says it's over, it's not over yet. Yeah, so which leads me to what we are going to do here. Over the next day or so, I want to affirm some of God's promises to us. Actually, I want us to do that exercise together. You know, so you will be called upon to think of some of your, you know, maybe a favorite lesson, maybe some promise that the Lord gave, something that you're latching onto. And we're going to do this together over the next couple of days. I am going to start here to show you a pattern of what I have in mind. And then everybody else will be have an opportunity to be able to jump in. Think of these as a series of multiple reviews of all of the promises of God. And why do we do that? Why should we do that? Well, because the book of Hebrews tells us we should be careful not to let slip any of the things that we have heard. Because if we're not careful, we may just let them slip. And if God has promised something, we're not constantly reminding ourselves of it, we may just let it slip. And so, but we're not going to let that happen. So what God has promised us, many of which I'm hoping some of you will remember, we're going to review and affirm. Now, remember, the AMEN acronym, the first letter is to affirm his word. Well, you must know what he said in order for you to affirm it. So let's remind ourselves of what he said. According to John 14 and verse 26, here's what Jesus said about, you know, something, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, one of his functions when he comes. He said many things. This is one of them. He said the Holy Spirit, which he calls, you know, the Spirit of Truth and so forth. And he also calls him the Comforter, calls him the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He said he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So we see that it is an important thing for us to call to remembrance whatsoever things God has already said to us. We can't just live in the past, be looking, live in a rear view mirror and then be looking for something else. No. Whatever he has said, because his words, the scripture tells us, Psalm 119 and verse 89, God's word is forever settled in heaven. So once he said it, settled. It may not quite, you know, be fulfilled yet, but it will be fulfilled. And so we must keep on believing. So the year of my redeemed is more than just 1 year, one physical year. Take as long as pleases God until the day of vengeance. In the day of vengeance, you know, is yet in his heart, but it's not quite yet. But this particular year, the Lord signifies, Holy Spirit signifies that it will be the ushering in, you know, of this full redemption that Jesus paid for us, for many things. You know, the word of God, the devil has stolen from us, will be restored. The glory of God, what we fell from due to disobedience and so forth, will be restored. Many promises that God gave, which seem to be being latent, dormant, be reignited, and so many things. And so, but we have a role to play. And the role that we must play is this, the title of today's lesson, which is affirming, or you might say reaffirming, God's words, what God already said. You know, let's reaffirm it. Now, I'm going to read to you one verse, one or two verses out of Hebrews chapter 2, and then I want you to be ready to interactively engage in today's lesson. Praise the Lord. I'm going to change the title in a bit. It's going to be called Faith Lab now. Now, listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says in verse 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So, you know, just slip through your hands or slip through your memory if we're not giving honest heed. So we got to recall the things that God has said. Let me remind you, a lady's pattern. When we started here, a few years ago, I won't say many, 2022, October 1, a couple of things the Lord told us, which was a good foundation. You know, that we have to bring wood, burn it upon the altar every day, according to Leviticus 6 and 13, and that we should not let the fire go out. That was one thing he said. A couple of other things he said. You know, the people will be willing in the day of his power, and also that, you know, it will renew our youth. And in the womb of the morning, Samuel 112 and Psalm 103. I mean, he gave us, you know, some of these things. Psalm 102, we read what the Lord said. We also read what he said about the, you know, that people being willing in the day of thy power. So as a reminder to myself, every day I say, well, the Lord said we will be willing and ready in the day of his power. So if the Lord is trying to do something, well, I better be ready. Psalm 110 verse 3. I said 112, but I meant Psalm 110 verse 3. So 110 verse 3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You know, so, you know, that's one thing that the Lord said. And so I use that to encourage myself every day. Yeah. Even when the spirit may be willing, the flesh is weak, but hey, the Lord said we'll be willing. So, get up already. You know, And then the Lord also said that early in the morning, we would command, he would command blessings for us, which means, well, sometimes when we come up early in the morning, like Psalm, you know, 110, the same Psalm 110, the beauty of holiness, command it in the morning, womb of the morning. So we try to do this early in the morning. Well, early in the morning for some of us can be early in the morning for everybody as we're in different time zones. You know, so I remind myself of these things all the time. And then on that same, you know, on that same day, you know, it happened to be a first day of October on that particular year. And then so the Lord also gave something which I used to encourage myself all the time. You know, and it so happened that it was the first day of the 10th month. And one of the, there were two lessons given on that day. One of the lessons was, you know, the top of the mountains shall be seen. In the time of Noah, how the waters were receding continuously until the first day of the 10th month, and then the top of the mountains were visible. That's a prophetic declaration made at that time. And this is how you remind yourself of those things. And challenge yourself to believe the word of God by repeating it, meaning it, expecting it, and not doubting it. That's what amen means. We said that yesterday. A for affirm, M, affirm God's word, and M is to mean what you say, E is to expect what you say, and N is nothing wavering or nothing doubting. If we're able to practice that, then we will see the blessings of God for us this year. You know, praise the Lord. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, and thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, the Lord will give us a renewing of our youth. And so we do this because of that, like every day. Now, over the last 3 years, there have been many promises that God gave us on this platform. We want to review them and see what the Lord, or try to remind ourselves of what the Lord said, lest at any time we let them slip. And then see how much of that, or how many of those things that the Lord has said, or how much of it we can actually activate by faith. See, because that's how the word of God is activated. It's by faith. Now, the scripture tells us in this same book of Hebrews that we were just looking at that there were some people that received certain promises. But because the promise was not mixed with faith in their heart, it didn't do them any good. You know, that's why I was saying that, well, we ought to make sure that we ourselves do not let the word that we have heard slip away from us. Because those to whom it was first spoken did not sanctify the word of God, not being mixed with faith in their hearts, and it did not profit them anything. Let's read that out of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. This is very important. We're talking about the promises of God. Let's see what this one has to say about it. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us, whatever that promise is. In this case, we're talking about entering into rest. Well, it could be promise of emerging, promise of this, quantum leap, promise of this and that. Whatever the promise is that was left us, any of you should seem to come short of it. Why? He gave an example. He said, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto those people. But the word that was preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, so for we which have believed, we do enter into his promise by the faith. That's how it works. If there is no faith, our promise is, you know, at best, dormant. It's activated by faith. Everything that God has promised. And so we're going to activate, you know, some of these things that God has promised us on this platform over the last 3 years. Praise the Lord. Now, let me say this also, that I am looking for an interactive session where, and you know, I don't want it to be like the reviews when I say, oh, let's review, and then there's silence for like 3 minutes. You know the promises of God, and we must all recall his promises. And if you have difficulty recalling them all, well, thank God for replays. That's one of the reasons why the replay feature is so valuable. And also another reason why we're expanding this platform to other platforms where the sermons will be more searchable and more readily available in 2026, God willing. We will release the early part of this year a new website, which is now in the making, and sermons will be searchable. That's not, we don't have that feature right now on Clubhouse. You have to scroll and scroll and scroll. And if you don't know what you're looking for, then you may not even find it. You know, but a keyword search could be very useful. Maybe you remember a keyword. Maybe you remember something. I may not remember all of it. You can easily search for it and find it. It's one of the reasons why we're bringing, embarking on that expansion. You know, but be that as it may, we must remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many scriptures tell us that. Say, remember the word. Jesus himself said, remember the word I spoke unto you before. He would tell them that a servant is not greater than a master. And oftentimes he would say, you know, remember what I said unto you. Remember what I said unto you. You know, and so we also must remember what he said unto us. Here are some key elements to help us in remembering some of these promises, especially the ones that I want us to focus on for, you know, this reviews, if you want to call it that. But it's more than just a review. It's us affirming God's word. A review could still be good in the sense that it reminds us of what we talked about. You know, but this, we want to take this a step further. We want to act upon these things, you know. Like I said, at the faith lab, when you are actually practicing what you learn, or you put together or try to, you know, you've learned about the formula or something and you try to see if it works, you go into the lab and try to prove it. And if it works, then you perfect the process. And then it becomes repeatable, you know. That's what science is. Science is not, you know, guesswork. Once it's perfected, it's repeatable. You do the same thing, you get the same result all the time. It's science. You know, so we perfect the science of our faith as well. You know, and you do it the same way, you get the same result. That's why I like, you know, some of these steps of faith that we give from time to time. You follow these steps, they work. And you do it today, it works. You do it tomorrow, it works the same way. You know, because now you've perfected it in the faith lab. But while you are practicing it, it may still be an experiment. A lot of experimentation happens in the laboratory. But someday, that thing is perfected. Some years ago, I worked for a large pharmaceutical company here in the United States. They made all kinds of things. They were the ones that made Johnson & Johnson and some of these other products. And I noticed, you know, how they did things. They had some massive labs. And some of these things I'm saying, I'm not just saying it, but guesswork. I saw it in action. And sometimes, you know, they have research and development, and they also have manufacturing. Yeah, you know, in the same lab, some people are researching new things, constantly trying to improve stuff. And then, you know, another portion is actually manufacturing, you know, what has already been perfected. Once they have the formula, sometimes they even patent that formula. Once they have that formula and you put it together exactly the way it says, the process says, it works exactly the same all the time. You know, and so that's what we do, you know, when we come into the fake lab. Okay, I think I've given you enough of a background on that. And let's see if we have some recall. Now, none of us has perfect recall. If you did, that would be great. A perfect recall is a photographic memory. You hear something once, or you see something once, and you never forget. And you can remember it exactly, either word for word or picture for picture or whatever. You know, well, that's God for you. Some people are actually gifted like that. And many of us could be that way. We just don't know how to harness different parts of our brains. Many of us use a very, very small fraction of our brain. But some people have brain power to remember things more than others, you know. So, but whether you can remember it at first by yourself or not, you get some help when somebody else says it. Then, you know, that's part of the reason why we do the review. And then you say, oh, yeah, now I remember. And then you yourself can add to it and can build on top of that and so on and so forth. But here is the process. You must find what was it that God spoke? You must find it. Jeremiah 15 and 16 said, you know, thy words were found and I did eat them. And they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Well, you know, what does it mean by looking? Words were found. I mean, somebody was looking. That's, you know, you have to look in order to find something. You have to search in order to find something. So how do we search for what God already said? Well, like I already told you, there's replays and all that things. But once you find them, what do you do then? You know, in the book of Psalm 119, the psalmist also talks about the word of God. You know, he even said, you know, how, you know, he rejoiced at the word of God as one that found great spoil. Psalm 119 verse 162. In fact, the whole chapter, which is 170 something verses, is all about the word of God and his relationship to the word of God. But in this one verse, Psalm 119 verse 162, he said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. In other words, like treasure hunt. You know, he found something, oh my goodness. And he rejoiced at it. Well, you know, finding is a process that comes from searching. Jesus said also himself, search the scriptures. Well, John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures. You know, for in them, you know, you think you have eternal life, and there are they that testify of me. So we got to search those scriptures. Well, there could be, you may be searching the scriptures from the Bible, that's one way, or searching other things which the Holy Spirit spoke. Once it's spoken, and it is written, and it's scripture. Because how did men of God of old, the Bible say, well, the scripture came not by private interpretation, but holy men of God spake. See, first they spoke as God gave them utterance. Then they wrote it down. And now we have the scriptures. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, you write it in the tables of your heart. It actually becomes scripture. If you can't believe it. And then when you search for it, when you find it, well, let's be like Jeremiah and this psalmist. He said, well, thy words were found, and it was rejoicing of my soul, my heart, and so forth. This other one said, I rejoice as if I've won a great treasure or found a great treasure, and so on and so forth. So here are some topics for you to consider. And title alone is not enough. Content is what we must remember. Now, title is a trigger. The title of the message will be a trigger, but content. Because some, you know, sometimes we title may say one thing, but in that message we may say 10 things. You know. So content is where we must exercise ourselves. Content. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. Study. Show yourself. Find these things. Study them. Here are a few content by title that can help you. There's a message of emerge that God pushed out for us since 2022. There was a message, you know, also of the quantum leap. And then, you know, there were messages about in 2025, we heard some things about the epic story beginning. That was also an acronym. I'll let you find out what that means. And there was the series of lessons about, you know, prophetic repairs. Repairs there also was given as an acronym. I'll let you research what those things mean. Now, these were all prophetically given as promises of God, what God was going to do for us. And the Holy Spirit is urging me to remind us to go back to those things. Now, we've heard something else that says the year of my redeemed. Wow. So putting that all together, what is it that God can do for us? Now, Father, I pray that the word of God, which you have spoken to us, which we have heard, you know, some of us have tasted, some of us have handled of this word of life. We know it's true and we know it's no lie. And the anointing which teaches us all things, the Holy Spirit, as you know, you promised, will bring things to our remembrance. He's here with us. Now, therefore, Lord, I pray, let the Holy Spirit bring to our remembrance the things that you have said, lest at any time we should let them slip through our fingers and forget. But I pray, Lord, that we will not forget, that the Holy Spirit will remind us and we will act upon his promises, the promises that he has given us. So today, Lord, as we want to affirm your words, give us understanding. Help us, number one, to remember and recall those things that you have said. Give us understanding of what you said and how we may apply them for ourselves. We give you, Lord, praise. Give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.